welcome to More Than Money. It's not my fault. Gunther was right there. It's not my fault.
He's over here. You're here.
No, he's right there, and he was imploring me to speak to him. All right, the fact that he had his back to me the entire time and had no eye contact whatsoever, I may have made the imploring part up. I may have I didn't make up the part about beating Tony Iannelli at golf, though.
Yes? He had fun.
Yeah?
He had a blast. It's
a great course and really nice people.
And it was a scramble.
It was a scramble. It's what? What? All right.
He said it was like it's not like a straight up golf tournament, right? It's a scramble where you're playing the best ball or something.
Yeah, it's a team.
Yeah.
You play as a team.
Yeah.
Which is why obviously Tony didn't do as well as he had hoped, because team.
He admits he has about an 18 handicap or something. He's an average golfer. He's not. You're above average. Well, you're like what? A 6 handicap or something?
No, if
10.
If I was playing to a realistic handicap, an 11, 12, something like that.
Yeah. He says he's 18 or 20.
How old is Tony?
66, 67, maybe.
Yeah. Then he was playing from the forward tees. He should have banged it right out there.
His short game is good, and I'm told that by more than one person.
Are we still talking about golf?
Yes.
We're not talking about something Wendy may have shared with you in total confidence.
No.
His short game is actually pretty good.
Yeah, but he still has that thing on the driving where he gets all worked up.
So. Oh, well, then it won't help him to hit from the forward tee.
But the bottom line is it doesn't count. I mean, because you're hitting somebody else. Scramble.
Well, no, everybody's depending on you. Everybody's depending on you. It's a team, so yeah.
He did okay. He was happy. He had a really good time.
As well he should.
Yeah.
And then.
And your team won, so congratulations.
Yes, and it was a team that.
Win if you can, cheat if you must. I didn't say you cheated. I said, cheat if you must. That would mean you.
No, seriously, I deeply resemble that remark. I think you're just, accuracy is. Yeah. Are you still here?
We were just talking about the Dale Earnhardt plane crash, and I thought, I didn't know he had anything to do with the Clintons.
Oh. Lovely seeing you, sir. Welcome to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning, August the 17th. Happy to be with you. And for the next couple of hours, we're going to answer questions. We're going to give you as much information as we possibly can. And when I say we, Mr. John Elliott at the board, and which is not the same as John Elliott being bored. Hey, watch it. Okay, well, it's... All right, I was just interviewing Gunther, so that could push a lot of people off the edge. So welcome, and if you're a loyal listener, you know that momentarily I'll give you three ways to join us and have your questions asked and answered, your opinions expressed, corrected as necessary, and glad to help. If you're joining us for the very first time, we welcome you. We have listeners from coast to coast, all the way to L.A., and... Into the south now. We had a trip out to San Diego, La Jolla area back in May. We made some friends there, and they're listening in as they are able, and our friends in L.A., of course, family and friends, right on up to the state of Washington and across the Midwest, Minnesota and Wisconsin predominantly, and then up and down the eastern seaboard all the way to Florida and all states in between. And they are looking for information about their personal financial situation. So it could be an investment question, a retirement question, a saving for college question, a saving for their first home purchase question. Could be an income tax question, exemptions, deductions, and 401ks and IRAs. Could be an estate planning question, wills and trusts. And insurances of all kinds. Could be a business question, how to start a business or run a business, or eventually liquidate a business for maximum advantage. And we're here to answer all those questions, offering you up our 780 years of experience and all of that at your service. All you need to do is give us a call, 610-720 7900. Again, 610-720-7900. If you wish to send me an email, you may do that easily. Gene, G-E-N-E, at askmtm.com. G-E-N-E at askmtm.com. And if you have friends and or family that are further afield, whether it's all the way across the country or just they don't pick up the signal all that well up in Erie, Pennsylvania, you just give them a call. Tell them to log on to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. They hit the Listen Live button, and they are receiving our show. If they wish to submit a question, and lots of folks do during our shows, they can hit the Ask Gene button, and that comes directly to my smartphone. Smart. Too soon, old, too late, smart. Yeah, you've never heard that before. Yeah, yeah. Please. 610-720-7900, gene at askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. As we did last week and as we will do right up to the event, I'm asking you to circle 9/11 on your calendar. First and foremost, of course, to remember the events of 18 years ago and how they impacted America and how they brought America together for a period of time. And how to turn something horrific into something positive as we raise funds on 9/11, as we do. And this will be our 11th year of raising funds for our first responders and our wounded warriors, and this year benefiting the Keystone Warriors. And last year we set a new MTM record, new More Than Money record of $32,000. We are very hopeful of breaking that this year. But we'll need your help. So if you will circle that date, if you can contribute, fantastic. If you'd like to do that in advance while you're thinking about it, send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, with your pledge. Otherwise, join us that day. If you are a business owner and would like to sponsor a half hour or sponsor an hour, matching money, send me the same email, gene@askmtm.com. We'll be very, very grateful. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Carol. Carol, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Very well. Thank you.
Very well. How may we serve you?
I have a question about money that I had to take out of one of our retirement accounts. My husband and I are both in our 70s, mm-hmm. and we had to remove about $50,000 from one of our accounts.
Okay.
And we actually don't know what to do with it. The CD rates are not very good, and the banks aren't good at all. Several of our friends suggested silver coins, investing in those, and another option that they suggested was a high-yield municipal income fund. If you could comment on both of those, I'd appreciate it, and any other advice you might want to give me.
Sure. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This $50,000, was this required minimum distribution money?
It was actually from an absolute assignment of an account that my mother had, and she died several months ago.
Okay.
And that account was assigned to me. So it's money that I had to take out upon her death.
I understand. Did you have to pay tax on any of it?
I believe they told me I would have to pay tax on about $6,000.
Okay. So a relatively small amount.
Yes.
Okay. And what would be your ideal result for this money? What is the purpose of this money for you and your husband?
I don't want to put it in any long-term investments, obviously, because of our age. And I want it to be available to us just for additional things we may want to do, you know, vacations and things of that.
Huh.
So it's not for any. It's not to be used for living expenses or anything like that. It's just money we have that's extra money.
Very good, very good. This helps me a great deal in terms of more eliminating things that you should not be looking at rather than and then also helps me focus in on things that you might consider. So, for example, long-term annuities would be a topic that you would not want to look at. These are, even though they provide some really nice benefits for other reasons, they really don't fit your goals of keeping this relatively short-term and relatively liquid. Silver coins falls into that same category. Even though they are relatively liquid, and I'll come back to that here in a second, they must be looked at because of their risk factor. They have to be looked at as a very long-term investment. Long-term, 5 years or more. I wouldn't want you to be looking at silver coins or gold coins or any other types of coins as a short-term, hey, I can always get out of the investment. Coming back to the liquidity part of coins, if they are newly minted, their value is in the silver or the gold, the actual precious metal. If they are collectible coins, like all collectibles, collectibles go up in value, some go down in value, some disappear completely, others do very, very well. And the reality is that selling a collectible can be a real challenge. We get calls 3, 4, 5 times a year on air saying, hey, I've got these coins, where do I sell them? And there are no quick and easy answers. Coin dealers, perhaps, auctions, perhaps, bullion traders, perhaps, but it's not easy. So I would eliminate silver coins or coins in general as an option. If you were sitting in front of me in the More Than Money World headquarters, my inclination would be, because $50,000 is such a substantial sum of money, and because you want to keep things liquid and have access to it for the kind of the icing on the cake kind of items, vacations and that kind of thing, I would want it to be quite conservative. You're absolutely right. Guaranteed interest rates right now in the 1.5 to 2% range. It's not a tremendously exciting number, but it's quite safe. I would combine the vast majority of the investments in various types of bonds, some short-term corporates, some short-term governments, some high yield bonds, as you mentioned. I wouldn't be quick to use a high yield muni until I looked at your tax return. If your tax bracket is very high, then yeah, we might look at that. If your tax bracket is normal, 15% or so, I would be more likely to look at a high yield corporate bond than I would a high yield muni. But I would use either exchange traded funds or mutual funds for all of these exposures. I would probably have you in about 80% fixed income, so $40,000 or so. But I would also have you 10% or so in some very high quality, what we used to call blue chip mutual funds of stocks. Vanguard has a very nice fund that produces a very high dividend rate. In many cases right now, higher than the CD rates at banks, and yet it has a nice opportunity to grow. I think all of those items would be liquid. It would give you a nice rate of return. I would guesstimate between 2 and 3% a year, purely in dividends. And then I would also expect that there would be some growth in the principal on average over, say, a 5 or 10 year period, another 2 or 3% as well. So I think long term, you could probably look at between 4.5 and 5% returns, with lots of variation along the way, and 100% liquid, so you could come and go as you please. That's a rough description of where I would lean.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome, Carol. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye. What we just did with Carol was a mini client interview. A mini interview in the sense that, of course, we cover lots of other topics. estate planning and insurances and wills and trusts and looking at tax returns and all that kind of good stuff. But in the sense that Carol has a block of money, she and her husband, and as you heard me, the first thing I wanted to kind of hone in on was not whether silver is a good idea or high yield munis is a good idea, but what are we trying to do with this money? What is its purpose? And once Carol described, and she was very clear, and good for her. That's the first step towards a successful investment approach. Very clear. She doesn't want it tied up long term. She wants it available in case they decide that hey, that cruise down the St. Lawrence River into the Thousand Islands, that sounds like fun. Off they go. Good for them. Or any other purpose that they may need. And yet she wanted to get, hopefully, a higher rate of return than the current low interest rates. One of the things that that we mentioned there, of course, is broadly diversifying. Even if you were looking at a relatively small number, 8 or 10 positions, you would still be able to diversify with the use of mutual funds and exchange-traded funds very, very broadly. Very broadly. And by keeping 80-85% of her money in fixed income, she keeps her volatility, the ups and downs that cause some people agita, to a minimum. But by keeping 10 or 15%, maybe even 20, in a high dividend, high quality blue chip stock mutual fund, it gives her and her husband the opportunity to see some growth in the portfolio. And over the long term, that could change her rates of return rather dramatically. Now, some folks are predicting much higher interest rates in the future. I am not one of those, but some folks are. So if, for example, 2 years from now, interest rates, guaranteed interest rates are 5%, the suggestion that we've made to Carol, the description we've given her of her investment portfolio structure could be converted literally at a blink. And she could go from everything that we just talked about into fixed income, 100% guaranteed at 5%, should it ever return in a blink. So I think it absolutely meets her requirements. Lots of things don't, as you may have heard, depending on their tax bracket. Municipal bonds don't necessarily fit. Tax deferred variable annuities don't necessarily fit. Fixed indexed annuities, which is basically every other radio show on the air today except More Than Money, they don't fit. Long term CDs or long term bonds absolutely do not fit. Real estate investments, those kinds of things, they don't fit. And it's not a function that any of those are not worthy or they're not appropriate in some situation. What it is a recognition of, not appropriate in Carol's situation. 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900, Gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Hopefully you got your newsletter this week. John's nodding. That's a good thing. Oh, no, hang on. He just nodded off, which is not the same thing. Nope, nodding. So he got his. You get yours by email. Yes, so John got his by email. We always mail one to my house, so I know that the snail mail has gone out. We got ours, and we hopefully you got yours as well. Lots of interesting questions for this particular newsletter, and a very important insert that tells you all about 9/11 and how you might join us and how you might best help the Keystone Warriors help our military vets and their families. So please look for that very carefully. If you are not currently a subscriber of our newsletter, please, please, please let me know. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. We will get that out to you as ASAP, and then you'll be on the list going forward. There's no cost whatsoever. It's absolutely free. You'll join the thousands. It's, wow, thousands of folks. When John and I first embarked, next year it'll be 20 years. 20 years next year. Nice. 20 years in 2020. 20 in 2020. There's got to be something we can play with on that. That'd be great. I think our list had seven. Well, I sent three to Mom, so it's kind of, I mean, technically four, but okay. If you wish, send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. I mentioned to you last week that I have a little extra nerves this morning because I will leave the radio show. That was harsh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I should never have thrown a comment in or comma in there. When I leave the radio show, comma, not a period. And John gave me a high five on that. Jeez. He said, two extra more hours of sleep on a Saturday. That's great stuff. When I leave the radio show this morning, no comma, I'll be heading up to the Poconos, Country Club of the Poconos, as they host the Middle Smithfield Historical Society and yours truly. Talking about my second elementary school, Middle Smithfield Elementary, started out as four classrooms, a library, and a gym. And now, gosh, I haven't been by it in a couple of years, but the last I saw it probably had 30 classrooms. It had just expanded over the years, over 1,000 years. I've been doing this 780, so a long, long time it has changed. So you live old enough, you live long enough, you become a historical artifact. So not unlike uncovering the mummies in the pyramids at Giza. They got an old Giza showing up today. And see how I did that? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. John would have, he appreciates it. To remember my days there. I'll tell you just flat out, third grade especially, there were days I was fairly certain that they were never they were not going to invite me back for tomorrow as a student. I had some moments. So to be invited back 50 plus years later to share those memories, I wonder if they know what they are getting themselves into. No, ignorance is bliss. There's no question about that, which is why I'm such a happy guy. Just a happy, happy guy. 610-720-7900. The stock markets this week. If you, I wonder what the word volatile means. Yeah, just take a look at what the stock market did this week, and now you know what the word volatile means. Dropping 800 points at one juncture, up 400 points at another juncture. The stock market volatility is something that caught a lot of people's attention. To be fair, of the hundreds and hundreds of clients that we have in our More Than Money World headquarters in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth, I think we fielded three phone calls. Three phone calls going, not so sure. That's a function of folks being properly invested. I'm going to talk about that more after the break. So we want to talk about the markets. We want to talk about the recession talks, the rumors of recession. That's an important thing. And this week, 50th anniversary of Woodstock. And it may surprise some of you listening to hear, I was there. So when we come back, we'll have some moments about that as well. 610-720-7900. If you want to save the entire audience from me reminiscing about Woodstock, call me with your questions now. 610-720-7900. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. We're back after this on More Than Money.
Keep on giving for your kindness. I made debt to you, and I never could have come
But we do. We offer you explanations galore. If you have a question about your personal financial picture, all you need to do is ask. 610-720-7900. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. G-E-N-E at askmtm.com. Both work very, very well. And if you have somebody further afield that doesn't pick up our signal through the airwaves, all they need to do is log on to morethanmoneyonline.com. Morethanmoneyonline.com. And they can hit the listen live button and be fully engaged. Prior to the break, we talked about the market volatility. We talked about rumors of recession. And we talked briefly about Woodstock. Before we get too far along, though, we've got a couple quick emails that I want to make sure we get to. Gentleman writes, my daughter has a part-time job and contributes to her IRA. Fantastic. I send her money as well to add to the IRA. How do we know if we've added more to the IRA than she has earned? So, setting the stage a little bit, part-time job, the IRA rule, assuming that his daughter is younger, if I'm remembering correctly, I should have looked that up earlier, the current IRA limits, here we go, should be around $6,500. $6,000. So she can put up to $6,000 in the IRA or 100% of her income, whichever is lower. That's a very important piece of information. $6,000, whatever is lower. So let's pick a number and agree that this young lady this year will earn $4,000. So her IRA limit is $4,000. Dad is wondering, if she makes four and we put in six, how do we know? Well, couple things. Likely on her pay stub, likely on her paycheck, there is not just a here's your current weekly or biweekly numbers, but here's your year-to-date numbers. I don't see tons and tons of paychecks other than the ones that we have in our office, but that I don't know that it's a requirement that they have a year-to-date kind of a thing, but every paycheck I've seen of late, everything that I have in my memory bank says that there is. So you can absolutely check that out. Assuming for a second that it doesn't and that your daughter's kind of lost track. At the end of the year, first part of January, she will get her tax form, her W-2, 1099, saying, hey, you made this much money. And let's say that you did put in $6,000 and she only made four. The IRA, I apologize. The IRS understands that sometimes these things happen, and it allows for you to withdraw the excess contribution prior to filing her income tax return. So she has the opportunity to, so to speak, make a correction. By the way, it works the other way as well. Let's say you thought she was going to make four, and because she had a great December, she made six, and you only put in 4,000. You'll have until the filing date, April 15th of next year, to put in the balance if you wish. So there's some flexibility here. IRAs are one of the very few income tax deductible kind of things where you can kind of make adjustments after the end of the year. You can make adjustments after the end of the year. Many people don't make their IRA contributions until the year after, until the spring after. By the way, if your daughter is younger, I'm hopeful that you're using a Roth IRA for her. I'm hopeful that you are not taking a tax deduction because she's probably in a very low bracket or a zero bracket. I am hopeful that you're using a Roth because that will mean that when she retires many, many years from now, all of her profits will come out income tax free. That's really cool. 610-720-7900. Is that Edie? And we'll go right to the phones, and we say good morning to Edie. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about college fund.
Sure.
Okay, now, my grandson, we enrolled him in the college fund, and he did not use all of the money that we had put in there for him.
Okay.
What happens to the extra money that is still there?
Well, you have lots of choices of what could happen to that money, and I'll give you just a few for you to think about. Number one, you don't have to do anything. You can leave the money right where it is, and it will continue to be tax sheltered. There's no maturity. There's no age that your grandson reaches where the college fund requires that you take the money out. So if there is money there, you might want to leave it perhaps for your great-grandson, perhaps for another grandchild, or perhaps for a child that may need education expenses paid for in the future. So that's one option. A second option is you can take the money out. You can, it's your money. You can retrieve it. Uncle Sam says that if you don't use it for college, there is income taxes to be paid. So you will want to look at that pretty carefully. But you can leave it, you can take it out and pay taxes, or you can change the beneficiary from your grandson to some other child that you would like to help. So it could be a blood relative or not. It could be anyone that you select. So you've got at least three really nice options there.
Okay. Thank you very much for your help.
Oh, you're very welcome. God bless, Edie.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. College funds are much more flexible than people expect. I'll give you another example of its flexibility that a lot of folks find very, very surprising. College funds are no longer college funds. When they were invented, that's exactly what they were called, because you had to be out of high school before you could use them in a tax-deductible way. Now you can use the same funds for preschool, kindergarten, elementary, high school, right on through. So for a lot of folks, they kind of scratch their head and they say, wait a second, it made sense to save money for college because you had 18 years from the time that the child was born in order to accumulate. So that made sense. But gosh, preschool, you only have 3 or 4 years. Not necessarily. Use the example of a young couple who just got married. They have no children. They're not planning on children for 3, 4, 5 years, but they could start a 529 plan. Grandma and grandpa could start a 529 plan. Mom and dad could start a 529 plan for their future children and grandchildren. Pretty interesting idea. Not difficult to do at all. Any financial advisor can help you do that rather simply and set up a 529 plan that eventually will be used for a child who is not yet born. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool indeed. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. I know I have another 529 plan question here. Oh, here we go. Second in the stack, yes. Gentleman writes, what documents do we have to give the IRS with our tax return to get money out of our daughter's 529 plan and not pay taxes? Anybody? Any theories? Anybody in the studio audience? Exactly. It's kind of hard to see. Lighting's not that great. it's not a trick question. It's kind of a trick answer. The answer is none. Yeah, the answer is none. You don't need to provide documents with your tax return when making any claims that you believe to be tax deductible. So let's again give you a demonstration, real numbers, or an example. Grandma and grandpa are helping their granddaughter, and they had a 529 plan, and their granddaughter had they paid for books, they paid for some of the lab fees, they took $2,000 out. What must they provide to the IRS? Nothing. Unless the IRS asks. And the IRS generally, 90% plus, will ask by sending them a nice, polite letter saying, hey, saw this $2,000. Hey, what'd you spend it on? And as long as they have appropriate documentation that they spent it on approved educational expenses, they're good. The vast majority of the time, 90% plus, the IRS will not ask because it's so clearly appropriate. But you need to be prepared. Documents, receipts are always good, always good. Statements from the college, always good, even if they're copies. Even if there's copies, very, very good. Checks, if you want to make it squeaky clean, the checks go, if they go directly to the college, fantastic. But the reality is, as long as you've spent it appropriately, you should have no trouble whatsoever. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Randy. Randy, good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. A question about profit sharing.
Sure.
I'll be 59 soon.
Mm-hmm.
I was told at work that when you're 59, you can take your profit sharing money out and invest it your own way with your own investor than to leave it in the company funds and let the company do the investing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Yeah, it is possible. The individual plan that you are in will describe, it's called a summary plan description. It's kind of a mouthful, but basically what it is a document that at some point they should have given to you that tells you what happens with this money in the profit sharing, what you can do, what you can't do. In some cases, profit sharing plans have an age of 55 and over. Some cases, it sounds like it appears that your plan is 59 or over. It's referred to as an in-service rollover, meaning you don't have to leave the company, you don't have to get fired, you don't have to quit. It just means that you can say to the profit sharing company, please roll my money over to my IRA and I'll take charge of investing it either by myself or with the assistance of a financial advisor. So okay. Is it possible to answer sure?
So if I had a financial advisor like you or somebody or an investment that I was going to take it out and put it in, what I'm asking is, really only been averaging maybe a little over 3% in dividends in a year on the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of thinking you can invest it in something and make a lot more than 3 or 4%.
The answer is it's possible, sure. It's also possible that if you or your advisor pick poorly, that you could end up losing 3 or 4, 5 or 10, 15 or 20. Folks, I have seen lots of folks do very nicely. I've seen lots of folks make bad decisions, and all of a sudden they're losing money. Whoever is investing the money in your current profit-sharing plan must have decided that it's far better to be safe and secure and make a little bit of money than take a risk and end up losing some money. 3% a year is not a great return on average, and that's one of the reasons why they've set this opportunity up. If you're unhappy with the returns that you're getting, you can absolutely pull the money out, put it in your own IRA, and make your own choices.
So if I'm going to work 10 more years and I got a little over $100,000 in that account, if you were me, would you pull it out and do something else with it, or would you let it ride for 10?
No, with 10 years, if the opportunity was a choice between 3% a year or running the money myself and having the opportunity to, at least the chance to, make 5 or 6 or 7, I would pull it out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. God bless.
Bye.
610-720-7900. Before you go to that call, sir, you'll be right down for whom? Got it. Very good. 610-720-7900. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Walt. Walt, good morning.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Very well, sir. How may we serve you?
The 529 situation that I have, I sort of hit the jackpot. I had two kids that wound up going to the school where I work.
Nice.
So they have tuition for them.
Nice.
Okay, so that's great. But the other side of that is the older one is a senior there, and I've taken some of the money from the 529 toward his room and board over the past 3 years, but not for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to keep paying out my own. But now I'm in the year where both of them are in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading in the PA tab 529 about scholarship refund.
Yes.
Is that applicable in this situation?
Oh, it may very well be. I would have to get a TAP plan expert on the line to confirm, but in general, whenever a student is given scholarship is kind of the broad term. What your kids are getting is in essence a tuition credit because of your employment. I'm going to be 85% sure that a tuition credit qualifies as a scholarship, but the 529 plan rules allow that if you have money in a 529 and the student receives a scholarship, you can remove an amount equal to the scholarship out and not pay any penalty for taking the money out. Whether you need to do that or whether you should be doing that, that's a very different question. I would encourage you, sit with a financial advisor, go over your college expenses really, really carefully. Take a look at the 529 plan assets and make sure that you're not better off using them directly, because the 529 plan expenses, approved expenses, are pretty broad. You can use those funds for quite an extensive list of expenses. You may find out you don't need to use that scholarship exemption.
Very good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. God bless. 610-720-7900. You want to talk about one of the greatest employee benefits of all time. Walt mentions that he works at a university. Because he works there, his children, if they choose to go to that school, can go there tuition-free. One of the greatest employee benefits of all time. He happens to have two children taking advantage of that. So pick a very modest number. John, could you? You got to. Thank you, sir. Pick a very modest number and say the tuition's $20,000 a year. His employee benefit will give him $160,000 that he doesn't have to write checks for. Whew. So Walt's a very happy guy. Let me also explain to you that it can also be a really nasty benefit, because kids today, hey, sweetheart, you know that if you go to the school where I work, you can go free. Yeah, I don't really want to go to that school, Dad. Oh, yeah, it's a flip of the coin. We've had 50-50, 50-50, where kids have gone, are you kidding me? Free? I'm in. And half of them have said, are you kidding me? You want me to go to the college where you work? And look around the Lehigh Valley. Look at some of the colleges. They're fabulous. They're fabulous. And yet, some kids have decided, no thanks. Stinky. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, if you wish to send me an email. I've got a fistful of them here, but anybody that goes live with their emails, they go to the top of the list. That's our policy, right? That's how we do it. John goes, why are you asking me these things? Goodness. In the 9 o'clock hour, Tiffany showed up with all things reverse mortgage. So if you're saving up your questions about reverse mortgages, excellent. John, are you over there? You're not? Okay. 610-720-7900. Before the break, we talked about, the markets. Market volatility is extreme. After the drop of 800 points on Tuesday, I got a phone call from my friend Tony Salamone. What a great name. Come on, your name's a poem. It's fantastic. Works for the morning call, and we did a quick interview of things that folks might do in the face of market volatility. First thing I suggested, and it was posted with a number of other quotes from other advisors. I thought mine was the best. Yeah, there were three others. That's exactly right. I thought mine was the best. Number one, if you've got a good strategy, stay with it. If you've got a good strategy, it allows for these kinds of things. It allows you to absorb the punishment of ups and down markets. You'll be fine. Number two, if you've got a stinky strategy, now's a good time to fix it. And keeping in mind that being in the stock market is not an on-off switch. It is not something that you're either in or you're out. You either have 100% of your money at risk or you have zero. That's not how it works. It's a dimmer switch, and if you are currently half in the market and half out, which is pretty typical for our clients. Our clients are typically either retired or soon to retire and 50-50, pretty typical. If your heart is fluttering and you're just saying, I can't sleep, then likely you've got too much in the stock market. And dimmer switching that down, the technical term, by the way, is rheostat. My engineering friends have taught me that. They're very proud that I remember. Thank you, sir. A rheostat, you dim that down and you put, maybe you're down to 40% in the market or 35% in the market until your heart stops fluttering. And in the ultimate, if you're saying, phew, you know what, now that I've been through this, it's not for me. This is actually not a bad time for you to bail. This is not a bad time for you to exit. If you've been in the market since the beginning of the year, let's say you were 50-50 in the market. Even with this most recent downturn, you have probably seen a plus 10. Prior to the downturn, you were probably plus 14. I get that, but you're probably at plus 10. And folks say you're supposed to buy low and sell high. Some folks are whining that it is now low. No, it's not. Everything's relative. Einstein was right. Everything is relative. It's lower than it was, but it's much higher than it was at the beginning of the year. So if you had entered at the beginning of the year and you're 10% of the good, now's a good time, if it's appropriate for you, to look for the exit. Yeah, that's right. And keeping in mind that the exits closest to you might be behind you. 610-720-7900. Top of the hour. When we come back, Tiffany Shutta, obviously our reverse mortgage expert, is going to be talking about all good things reverse mortgages. There's something grammatically incorrect there. I'm not sure that I should have gone that direction. But please join us. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. Back after this on More Than Money.